Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Michael DelGiorno Show. Super Talk 99.7.
You know, there's a simple phrase I use, and it's one of those things you can just throw out in the form of a simple phrase, but you could really talk about it the rest of the show, the rest of the week, frankly, the rest of your life. And it's a choice we all make. Are we going to be victims or are we going to be victors? I see this in our culture today. We embrace being victims. We're like professional victims, and we know all the roles and the steps of being a professional victim. And then there are victors that are victorious regardless. And I want to share one of those inspirational stories with you next half hour. He happens to be one of our listeners. His name is Mark Fry, very successful guy. He was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis some 20 years ago. He's lived his entire life with chronic illness, and it hasn't stopped him. He's got a new book called Determined I want to share with you. We'll do that next half hour. But first, as the music might indicate, is she going to be Skype or phone? Brother Chris? Is she phone or Skype? Phone? You don't get an intro because you're late.
Oh, that's just wrong.
I mean, what were you Senator Roberts' hour-long radio show in Springfield? Where were you that you were so busy?
No, I was just kind of taking my time this time because I'm always too early. So I figured I would just wait a few more extra seconds.
That's what Chris said. Where's Kathy? She's normally early. I woke up to this, and it said something about the march this weekend that I think a person who has an audience like you should share. The march was supposed to be about school safety. Notice how the messaging shifts. Well, it doesn't become about the shooter. It becomes about the gun. It doesn't become about mental illness or foster care or adoption or being thrown out of school or 45 visits from local law enforcement or the FBI dropping the ball twice or him reaching out one last time to law enforcement for a cry for help. It doesn't become about any of that. It becomes about the gun, the NRA, Republicans, and ultimately Donald Trump. I mean, that's the bait and switch. So, and he says, it's all about a vote amendment and to vote out greedy old white people. Hollywood puts up $3 million for this. It all just using our kids as cheap advertising for the midterm elections, yada, yada, yada. Well, I said, you mean a point that I have made locally and nationally? And the reason is the money and the agenda and the organizations behind them. They have hijacked these children who are ignorant pawns, and they are using them for their specific political agenda. Now, where my rage, and I think your rage lies in, is the parents that have allowed it and a media that will refuse to cover that truth. But I think it's becoming more and more obvious to everyone. They're not interested in kids being safe. They're interested in gun laws. They're not interested in schools being safe and kids being safe and what will actually keep them safe. They're interested in getting Democrats elected. I think that's painfully obvious, but I had to give the credit to you because I think one of the first things we did was go over these three scheduled walkouts and marches and who the money is and who the organizations are behind them. And that should shock no one that it's become about the Second Amendment and gun control and partisan Democrat voter registration, because that's what their agenda is. But you can't possibly be shocked because we've been covering it from the beginning.
No, and it, you know what we've also said from the beginning, it isn't about safety. It's all about this resistance movement. And the problem is, though, they've mastered this whole narrative. You know, this started out as supposed to be something to, you know, remember the poor victims, but it's been so turned into using these kids that were mentally and physically, you know, affected by this whole thing to tell them that they're, you know, they've convinced them that they're empowered to make change within our laws and our Constitution. This is serious stuff. But, you know, when you've got the faces of this looking like this David Hogg and this Emily Gonzalez, who the last pictures I've seen of them, they're standing there raising their fist, looks like something from Hitler Youth. You know, this is a dangerous movement. They're using these kids. These kids, you know, are becoming these mini activists because they ran out of college kids because they're too lazy. And it's really kind of scary because, you know, I didn't know high schoolers could vote. I know that there's a lot of kids in you know, 12th grade that may be turning 18, but they really made this focus on registering to vote. And that's when I'm finding, like, these kids can't vote. So, what, you know, that's kind of like a waste of time. But the one thing I did want to share
they can vote in the presidential election.
Well, if, yeah. I mean,
and inspire a lot of young people who are between 18 and 22 to vote, that can vote in the midterm election.
I mean, that's clearly, what they seem to be doing.
Yeah. Should we walk through the three events and the three organizers? I mean, I've done it filling in for Michael Savage. You did it on this show and on your website, dailyrollcall.com, shortly after the shooting. And you even had the letter from the Tennessee Department of Education that was pretty much instructing the schools on how to participate in this. But as we go through them and their ties, it's an interesting group of people.
Oh, it sure is. And what's really interesting, this March for Our Lives, the one that was just this past week, and we know that that was funded solely by the Hollywood elites and George Soros and everybody else that hates America. But, you know, they try to say that this was student-led and recently formed. It isn't recently formed. When you start looking back on their websites, this is something that's been lying in wait for a long time and taking advantage of a horrible crisis. But they have these things that you can use and that you can, you know, give out at these marches. And one of the most disgusting things I saw was they have a coloring book for little kids. And each page has something different on it, including one that just says the word guns kill. And then there's another that says ABCs, not NRA. And it really is, it's such propaganda, but it's so dangerous to be, you know, handing these out to little kids. I read somewhere where a group of kindergartners had to do something, how they felt about shootings and then their replies. You know, this is indoctrination of these kids, but, you know, they give them social media graphics, voter registration toolkits, they give them how to make posters, and they give them ideas for posters. But I think what really, really troubled me is this Emma Gonzalez, who's one of the faces. You know, you can't miss her. She's the bald-headed, you know, young woman who her father's from Cuba, by the way. She gave this talk, and she said, and this is a quote, "We will fight for a better tomorrow. We need to save all the children. Let's save the babies." Well, how about marching for, you know, abortion? You know, these things are just so skewed to what they're focusing in on and what the adults want them to focus in on is all about the guns. And that's a grab for the guns.
Yeah, I'm gonna avoid all the different issues because they're all very relevant. And you're right to point them out. She even had a Cuba patch on her shoulder. That's something we really want to role model ourselves.
Ironic.
After. There's freedom and security for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, you know, for some of these kids now, you know, they're getting all of this exposure on national TV, throughout social media. It's a big ego trip. I mean, they really and some of those kids have real ambitions, you know, Hogg being one of them. I mean, his dream is to be to have a show on CNN. Well, he probably will by the time this is over.
Yeah, right.
But at the root of it is the leftist money, the Democrat partisan agenda. And they have certainly, with great distaste, hijacked a tragedy. And none of this will keep the next kid safe. All of this is misguided. I did a piece last week from Heritage.org, and I'll put it up with your early research of who these organizations are in throwing these three walkouts and marches as being probably the most important thing people could read. And you're looking at, you know, mass killings like this are very rare. Only 0.2% of homicides every year and only 1% of homicide victims. You have to look, and then inside those numbers, only 12% of mass killings or mass shootings. So it's a very, very small percentage that is blown very, very much out of proportion. In other places, they use vehicles, bombs, stabbings, whatever they have to. These gun control measures will not help. They will hurt, and in places where they've been used, they have hurt. The mental health issue continues to be ignored. Although we have to point out that according to one study, 60% of mass public shootings shooters have been diagnosed with a mental disorder. That isn't to say that everybody with a mental disorder is dangerous, because very few actually go on to do mass shootings. But it is an element of it, and an element that is being ignored. And I mean, we could go on and on and on. And but, you know, the bottom line is this has been hijacked, bought and purchased for a very specific agenda. I think reasonable people see through it. But. You know, the media is certainly not going to stop. Hollywood's not going to stop. Planned Parenthood's not going to stop. The teachers' unions aren't going to stop. And, you know, you and I wouldn't get equal treatment with our messaging in those same schools. So what's the takeaway? And what's the ultimate threat?
Well, I think the ultimate threat is if this proceeds to be as heavily, you know, promoted by the left, you know, what is next? You look at some of the things that they're making demands about, you know, having, you know, guns be required to be licensed and all things that already are in place. But then there's two interesting things. There's something called the Eliminate the Shoot First law, which is a stand your ground law. They want that gone. And then the second thing really bugs me. They're looking to prohibit military grade weaponry from being transferred to police.
Wouldn't anything with a trigger be military grade?
Pretty much, but, I mean, you know, they talk about the killings of people of color by police in this country. So, I mean, the whole narrative is so obvious about what it is. But, you know, they've also, Black Lives Matter went after, you know, disbanding police for crying out loud. So I don't know that too many police departments have all of this military-style weaponry. They do have some to a certain extent. But, you know, cops are being ambushed left and right, and so they do have a right to have these weapons. You got to fight fire with fire. But, you know, changing the shoot first laws and giving the power to the government to be able to say, oh, I think somebody's going to injure themselves. We're going to take their gun away. I mean, these are things that are really going to affect millions and millions of Americans.
Even the president, I might add, has gotten on board with raising the age, the minimum age. Of course, that's laughable. You raise the minimum wage, minimum age all you want. The average mass shooter in reality is 34 years old or older.
Yeah,
I mean, and these magazines and style of guns, I'll remind everybody, the worst killings of all were Virginia Tech. Killed 32, injured 17. He used two handguns. None of them were high-round magazines. They were 10-round magazines and 15-round magazines. He just brought a lot of magazines. But nobody's interested.
Right.
But nobody's interested in the truth in this. This is, I mean, these kids and their parents offering them up to be are ignorant pawns in very skilled, organized, agendized leftist organizations with very deep pockets. Do we just get these three through these three different events and then move on? That's what we have to keep our eye on.
I think that this will fade away temporarily. I think that, you know, once they get through the 20th of April is the next one by Indivisible. I think that they'll fade away, and you know, kids need to be go back to being a kid for crying out loud and get off your little soapboxes. But I think that, you know, Congress will and they should come up with some type of plan in school that regards safety.
My daughter made the best final say we could make in this interview. She looked at me and all these people in Nashville out with their kids and marching. And my daughter said, and how do they think they're any safer Monday because of this? And she's so right, because that march doesn't make them any safer this Monday, even if you give them what they want, voter registration, even if you get them what they want. You know, we ban all guns here and there and there. There's still going to be a shooter with the intent of killing multiple people due to multiple factors who will get these weapons, and they're going to be standing there without a gun. It's not even logical that if they achieve their agenda, they'll be safer. They won't be. The mouths of babes, I guess, right? Followed it from the beginning. You continue to follow it at dailyrollcall.com, and we'll continue next Monday or sooner if conditions warrant. You know the game. Anything else I missed? There was a great story you need to get on your website. It'd be a nice little wake-up call for everybody. Two things. One, there is a Parkland survivor who doesn't want his sister's name being used, and it was used on several signs. She was in the junior ROTC, and she would have not have supported gun control laws. No one will, of course, be sharing that story with too many people.
No.
Be buried on PJ Media. And then we had a Texas teen that was beaten. This is a Fox News story. Beaten, had hot cooking oil poured all over her. Why? Just another one of the Muslims with hijabs walking around our malls. This one comes from the Texas Dallas area. I believe it was the Dallas area, refusing an arranged marriage. So, you know, we still have ancient Islam being practiced by non-assimilating Islamists in America. And in this case, we continue to be dumbfounded by women who sit and watch this anti-woman, false religion attack young girls in a country that believes the antithetical way. So you might want to get all over that story, too. It's a doozy.
I'm on it.
For that poor young girl that it's too late for. Kathy Hinners, dailyrollcall.com is the website. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. Brother Ken's looking at me like he's thinking about calling King Insurance right this second. You had that look like, what am I paying and why?
Well, I was struck by something that was on the tube.
The boob tube?
Yeah, the boob tube.
So you're supposed to be in there gathering news and you're watching television.
Well, I'm gathering news while I'm watching television.
Is it Jerry Springer? What is it?
No, it's just some talking heads on CNN talking about the big protests over the weekend.
Oh, yes. They were so spontaneous. These kids are amazing with how they were able to organize this. Did you get a look at my my guest, Mark, in here? Mark's got, like, let me tell you something.
Let me see.
10 o'clock news anchor face.
That's a good-looking fella.
He's a handsome man.
Yes. Yeah, that's TV news right there.
I mean,
there.
Seriously. Your hair, great. Somewhere you miss God's will. He fearfully and wonderfully made you to deliver the news.
I was a newscaster in college.
Were you?
On our local, like, Lipscomb terrible TV show.
Really? You're a very handsome man. Now you sell drugs?
I do, yes.
So I can call you in the middle of the night like Elvis and you'll come over with something?
Exactly, yes.
Pharmaceutical rep. People wonder, like, what happens to the gorgeous people, whether it's a woman or a man. Where do all the gorgeous people go? They go into pharmaceutical sales. They're always sitting in the lobby. They're the only ones that aren't coughing.
Bringing food.
Yeah, it's really quite the... the reason I've asked Mark to be here is he wrote his first book, and the book is called Determined, and it is the story of his life, because I always, you know, we broad stroke around this issue of being professional victims or victors. And I think we all have things in our life that we have to overcome. And in Mark's case, it was MS, diagnosed 20 years ago. And it certainly was an added baggage, a moment you could say, God, why, or, okay, God, here we go. And determined, encouragement for living with your best life, being your best you with chronic illness. And Mark Fry is the author. Your first book ever.
First book, oh, yeah.
We can't say that, though. Technically, it was your second.
Correct. That's true.
Because you helped your mom with her autobiography. Right, yeah. So your mom wanted to just do that for the grandkids, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I bet your kids are gorgeous too, right?
I think so, yeah.
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 Boy, you're handsome. I can't stop looking at him. I want you to like give me a few headlines. What'd you think of Stormy Daniels? Wouldn't it be nice to have a television anchor that could also give you a few pills? You'd be stacking your paper. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 and 10. In the meantime, here's some Xanax. You know, be nice. But you helped mom write her autobiography. She's from Louisiana.
Yeah, correct.
And
yeah, that was fun.
Why this book and the essence of the message that you're trying to convey to folks?
I think the main thing when I was diagnosed was trying to find a book that was positive.
Mm-hmm.
Everything out there was negative. It was kind of a...
here's how miserable your life is going to be.
Exactly. And nobody seemed to have any hope and encouragement. And so... it was just kind of a thought of mine, and then December last year, I started taking off every Friday to write the book. And so it just kind of came from that, really trying to provide, and as a Christian, providing
sure.
hope and encouragement to people.
I've been around people with MS. My sales manager in Tulsa for 5 years, then 6 years at another radio station, she suffered from it. And, you know, it's not one of those things that are going to kill you quickly.
Correct.
But it's going to debilitate you greatly.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was, you just never knew when it was going to hit. You know, some days I'd come in and she'd just be on the floor in her office. I'm like, oh my gosh, Linda, what's going on? You know, and I'd be picking her up and driving her somewhere. Why don't we explain to people what MS is and does? And,
yeah.
and then they can relate whatever their specific chronic illness is, and we'll get to the essence. But the battle of MS sure. with you is a debilitating one.
It is, and I don't know if you know this, but it's actually MS Awareness Month.
Oh,
March.
I didn't know that.
Yes, so
see that now I have justification for doing the interview beyond you're handsome, and I just wanted to help.
That's right. So basically, MS means multiple scars, and so you can have lesions on your brain or your spinal cord. What that means to you really is it affects your walking, it can yeah. affect your eyesight, just the a lot of different body parts involved in it. And so, and it affects everybody differently. But it's really a disease that affects about maybe 500,000 people in the U.S. And so it can be very disabling. Fatigue sometimes forces people to quit working. So
now we seem the same age. I'm not nearly as handsome as you, but we seem roughly the same age. You were diagnosed very young.
I'm 50. I think you're what, 53?
53, yeah. Oh, thanks yeah. for pointing that out.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I was diagnosed when I was... basically 30, and so it hits people mostly in that age. I mean, really the prime of your life.
Yeah.
It's a tough time.
Yeah. So you start writing a book, no training, I presume, no passion. You know, someday I'm going to grow up and write a book. I mean, I always said when I wrote mine, you know, I think my last grade in English was like a D.
I was a C, probably.
A C or a D, yeah. But, you know, I sometimes wonder if that's by choice from God. You know, when he deals in our areas that aren't even their weaknesses or not even perceived as anything, he's got a vessel he can shine through. For me, I found the fact that I don't ever communicate in writing was helpful in staying out of the way and allowing God to speak through me. I was kind of curious how that worked for you.
Well, it's interesting because, for example, John 9:3 talks about the blind man,
mm-hmm.
and was asked, why did this, was it his parents or his sins? And God said, so it could be glorified through that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I've come to that realization after about a decade that I had an opportunity to use this for good or not to use it at all. And I choose to use it for good and try to encourage other people by the way I live.
Determined encouragement for living your best life with chronic illness. And this would apply to anybody that's having to overcome something and be a victor beyond just the normal walks of life. Kind of walk us through the book and some of the messaging.
So basically I start out just kind of explaining my story. I have a friend, Sarah, that wrote her story. And it's not a book about MS. It's really, as you said, it's for anybody with a chronic illness or anybody that may be a caregiver for someone. But I use several topics. Joseph, I should know my own book, shouldn't I? Four different people, Jesus, Paul, Joseph, and Job, and their stories. And really, the Bible has so much to say about chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't start out to write a Christian book or an all-Christian book, but I just, you know, as you as a Christian know, you can't really live your life any other way if you believe the gospel. So
yeah.
Several
it shapes
chapters.
Every thought. It
really
shapes
does.
Every experience. So yeah, of course it's going to be.
It does. And so there's a chapter in there about the reverse effect, and it's instead of worrying about yourself and you know, what can people do for you? It's what can you do for other people? So I talk about in the book, I was getting my infusion one day, and instead of just sitting there and watching Netflix, I decided to write note cards to other people that were sick.
Mm.
And so I turned my bad situation into somebody, you know, doing something good for someone else.
Yeah, that seems to be a common thread in everything. You know, I go back and I don't often preach on it, but when I begged God to remove anything in me that wasn't him, and that led to being fired and led to being not be able to find a job, he wasn't going to allow it until he completely reworked my life. But one of the common threads was I was talking to one of the top consultants. This is a guy that would have wanted me to work at any number of places at any given time. The one time I needed him, he's like, why don't you go volunteer for something? But there is something about in the midst of your victimization or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. not being about self and being completely selfless. And even if it's mundane, anything, cards encouraging people, volunteering for a guy running for car, there's just something in those actions that God uses. I don't know if it's a posture thing. I don't even think I ever really figured out that thread, if you will, of that yeah. whole journey. But that was a big part of it. And for me, it was really, when you look back, the biggest part, because if the guy's now head of EPA and about to probably be our attorney general, Scott Pruitt. But if I don't run his campaign as a volunteer, I don't spend time with a brother and get discipled in a different way and get all of my politics and political views to be used the way God has used me the last 20 years. I mean, there is something in that, just simply taking your eyes off yourself and putting it on others, especially at the most tempting time to be looking at self and feeling, you know, self pity.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think for me, that's how I've chosen to deal with it. And I know other people are not so positive. And so that's really, you know, what I try to do is just encourage other people by the way I live and stay positive, if nothing else.
And the book seems real. There are days you get frustrated. There are days
yeah,
you're
definitely.
Just sick of it. I mean, do you ever just get sick of getting sick? Of course. And does
yeah.
that make you angry? Of course. But we do have control of our hearts and our minds. And ultimately, you know, we can have bad moments, but get right back on track. Problem is most people don't know the track, and that's what this book's going to help them.
Exactly. I hope so.
I wish you the best with this. I can't wait to read it.
Thanks.
I'm one for one this week. Michelle Pilar's Untangled is one of the best books I've written, read in the last 15 years. And she came by last week, so I'm on an inspirational high right now. And by the way, and may I say, this picture on the back does no justice for how handsome you are. Look at that. You're way more handsome than that. Mark diagnosed with MS over 20 years ago. He's decided to not be a victim and a victor, and this encouraging book, Determined, will help you for whatever you are overcoming every day as you're trying to serve God, serve your family, and live out your purpose with such a huge thing constantly nagging away at you. I wish
Thanks
you the best,
so
Liz. I can't wait to. I will read it this week, I promise.
Thanks.
You're a very handsome man. You sure you don't want to... anchor Fox News tonight.
I might do that. I might stop.
Should I give him your number?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
You're going to get home, your wife's going to go, I think he was hitting on you.
She was actually listening, so hopefully not.
Who's the bigger fan in your family?
Bigger fan?
Yeah.
Probably me.
You?
She's a nurse, so a lot of times she can't listen.
Well, see, that's good. You get to play nurse literally and figuratively.
There you have it.
There you go. All right. Well, I wish you the best in life.
Thank you.
So glad I finally got to meet you, and I look forward to reading your life.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. Mark Fry, Determined, is the book. You can get it at Amazon, anywhere
Amazon
great books are sold.
BarnesandNoble.com.
Yeah, BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon. Get Determined, and I'll put it on the top of my Facebook page.
Thank you.
Right next to that gorgeous picture of my lizard. It's a good-looking girl, isn't it? What do you think of her?
Oh, definitely. Beautiful.
Isn't that? Oh, Daddy loves her. That's her sleeping on my Syracuse hat as Syracuse slept through their game.
That's